Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and you'll be confined there to that chapter this morning. My message is, Give Me This Mountain. And this is a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, but if you would follow, I'll read the entire chapter. Joshua chapter 14. These are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half-tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half-tribe on the other side of Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them, for the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. For the Lord commanded Moses, and as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the children of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning so much for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that you have given it to us, and we would rest our soul down upon it. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, our Father, for the opportunity to be in your house with your people about your word. I ask that you would be glorified, that you would speak very clearly and specifically to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me say a few things by way of introduction. I haven't had glasses on for 35 years, so I don't know whether I'm going to put them on or take them off, and don't let that make you nervous, because I'm not sure just what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I had two or three pair of glasses, and I thought, which should I take? And I've tried them on, and I think that the ones I have will help. But thank you for putting up with me. And let me also say that I feel very much at home here at the Mountaintop Church. My wife and I, we love your music. Thank you, worship team, for the excellent job. It's good to hear you. Good to have you back ministering again. And we feel very comfortable. We feel at home. Not like the cowboy. Did you hear about the cowboy who went to church for the first time? And it was such an experience, he liked to enthusiastically talk about it. He told his friend, he said, I rode up to the corral and tied my horse off at a tree. And he said, you mean the church parking lot? Yeah, I said, I guess it was the church parking lot. And then I said, I walked in through the main gate. And they said, you mean the front doors of the church? Yeah, the front doors. And then two men took me down a long chute. They said, you mean an aisle? Oh, yes. And they stuck me in a little stall. And they said, you mean a pew? Oh, I said, I do remember. It's a pew. When I sat down beside the lady, that's what she said, pew. We feel very much at home. We certainly would want you to know that we feel very comfortable here on the mountaintop. And my message today may center on that very thing. Give me this mountain. And I read a lengthy passage of scripture. In the Bible, a mountain speaks of triumph, or it can be a place of tragedy and defeat. Sometimes a mountain can be an obstacle. Other times, I believe it can be an opportunity. And by faith, we can overcome. The Bible talks about the ark resting on Mount Ararat. The law was given at Mount Sinai. Our Lord ascended to heaven from Mount Olivet. And then on a little hill outside of Jerusalem called Mount Calvary, our Lord was crucified. And when he returns again, it will be as he left to the mount from whence he ascended. Now, a mountain can be an opportunity. Jesus said to those who were in unbelief, he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove, and it would be removed. Nothing is impossible to those that believe. Now, Caleb's request was, give me this mountain. First of all, let me say that Caleb had courage. Mountain climbing is one of the most challenging and one of the most dangerous sports in the world. It's listed by the insurance company as the number one exposure to danger. And Caleb, in the midst of all of this, displays a boldness and a courage in the Lord. Be bold and be courageous. Joshua and Caleb worked together, labored together, shoulder to shoulder, and they came out of Egypt together. They went through the wilderness together. They spied the land together, brought back a good report, the two of them. And what God said to Joshua, he would have said to Caleb. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Caleb claimed that boldness. Don't you thank God for those that are courageous? The three Hebrew children stood before the king, and they said to the king, we're not careful to answer you this. We're not going to bow down and worship your God, and our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Aren't you encouraged with Peter, who jumped out of the boat when everybody else was afraid to even be on the boat? He jumped out to walk on the water in that midst of that storm. Boldness. The Bible says that we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're to put on the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand in the evil day, we're to stand. Therefore, John Wesley said, you give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God in his glory, and I'll shake this world. We need courage. Be not afraid of them, Jesus said, who could kill the body. And after that, there's nothing more they could do. Well, Caleb was a man of faith. And we need to stand courageously. Secondly, I find that Caleb had great faith. In verse 6, it says that the children of Israel came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb said, "The thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea." His faith was in the word of God. He said, "What God said, I believe it." And the word of God is quick and powerful. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Caleb exercised great faith because he believed the word of God. Faith is not something that we conjure up. Faith is not something we work for. Faith is a gift. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's through the word of God that we can know victory and triumph. For 45 years, he believed God's word. It hadn't been fulfilled yet. But for 45 years, God had promised him, "Because you were courageous, I will give you that land." And he believed that God was able to perform that which he had said. He hadn't seen it yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He hadn't seen it yet, but by faith he says, "Give me this mountain. Let me go up now and overcome it." He knew the promises of God. "Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'll give it to you." And our victory, really, in overcoming is faith. And faith comes from the word of God, and faith comes from Jesus. Paul said, "The life which you now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." It's not my faith, it's his faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, from start to finish, from beginning to end." Faith really depends upon the object of our faith, which is Jesus. That's where faith comes from. It comes from looking to Jesus. And God has given us this hilltop. As I was preparing this message, he gave us this hilltop 45 years ago, and he wants us to claim our inheritance. He wants us to claim the inheritance of the whole area. And someone said that doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, but faith soars on high. Doubt questions, "Who believes?" Faith says, "I." And then Caleb gave a pleasing request. It says in verse 12 of our text, "Give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, that there's Anakims there. And if it so be, the Lord will be able, if he's with me, I'll be able to drive them out and possess the land." Caleb asked a very pleasing request. There are times that God's people are displeased with his people. God is displeased with his people, displeased with their prayer request. God was pleased with Solomon's request. God appeared to Solomon at night, and he said to Solomon, "What could I do for you? What do you want?" And Solomon didn't ask for riches or a lot of other things. Solomon said, "That I might have a wise and understanding heart to judge my people, to discern between good and bad." And 2 Kings 3:10 says, "And the prayer pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." God was pleased with Solomon's prayer. He was pleased with Abraham's spirit of prayer. You know the story. Abraham came out of the land which would now be known as Saudi Arabia. He came out of that land with his nephew Lot. And he said to Lot, "Lot, choose what land you want. If you take the left, I'll take the right. If you take the right, I'll take the left." Lot, you make your choice. And Lot saw the luscious land to the right, and he says, I'll take that over there. And Abraham said, okay, we're brethren. There'll be no contention. You can have it. And when Lot separated himself, God said to Abram, Abram, I want you right where you're standing to look northward and southward, eastward and westward. All the land you see, I'm going to give it to you. You see, Lot made a choice, but Abraham said to God, you make my choice. I'm committing this to you. You make the choice. And I believe that God was pleased with Solomon and Abraham's request. And I believe he was pleased with Caleb, who said, give me this mountain. On one occasion, an elderly woman was invited in to the private office of Abraham Lincoln. And she came, and Abraham Lincoln, that humble president, said, ma'am, what can I do for you? She said, nothing. I heard that you like cookies, and I baked you some cookies. And she set the basket down. And tears began to come down across that gaunt face of that good president. And he said, madam, thousands of people have come into my office asking for things. You've not asked for a thing. And it moved me. God's pleased when we come into his presence, as the worship team was giving, just to thank him, just to praise him. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Not asking for anything, but saying, Lord, you make the choice, because I don't know how to pray as I ought to. I don't know how to word it as I should, but you know, and I'm trusting you to make that decision. I want to set my affections on things above. I want to set them where he is at. And Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites, but pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. And then fourthly, I find that Caleb overcame obstacles. Now it says in verse 12, give me this mountain. And in that day, the Anakims were there. They were giants. And the cities were walled. So there were giants and walls. And there was a lot of obstacles. And if we're going to do exploits for God, we're going to run into obstacles. There's going to be barriers. We must overcome them. By the way, the Anakims who dwelled in Hebron, the Philistines later conquered that land. And out of the Philistines, there came a giant, one of those giants. Do you remember his name? Goliath. The Bible says he was 9 feet tall. And David wasn't afraid of him. David went charging after him. He was a descendant, by the way, of Caleb, from the same tribe, the same ancestry, had the same spirit. And Caleb wasn't afraid of a giant. He says, I know there's giants in the land, and I know there are walled cities. I saw the walls of Jericho fall, and I believe that God can bring them down. Now, he had been to Hebron before. Do you recall that he cut down a bunch of grapes? And the grapes were so large that they put them between on a rod on the shoulders of two men. And I think that was Joshua and Caleb that carried those grapes back and gave the report. And I want to say this to you, that if you want to live for God and serve God, life will be full of obstacles. The devil, like a roaring lion, he walks around seeking whom he might devour, and he'll put roadblocks and obstacles in your way. But I believe that we can overcome those obstacles. The 10 spies looked at the obstacles, but Caleb looked at the opportunities. He said, my, if we had this mountain, what we could do with it. Booker T. Washington, a black man who lived in the South when it would have been hard to live in the South, he said this, success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life, but by the obstacles which he has overcome while trying to succeed. And that's the matter of true success, is overcoming. Paul said to the Galatians, who did hinder you? You should not. Who threw the stumbling block that you should not obey the Lord? Obstacles. Turn them into opportunities. And then fifthly, Caleb disregarded his handicap. We read in verse 10 and 11, he said, God kept me alive. And the Lord spake this word by Moses, and I am this day 80 years old, and I have strength now to go in and to come out. And he disregarded the fact that he was 85 years of age. To him, it was never a handicap. And I want to say, you're never too young or too old to serve the Lord. F.B. Meyer said this about getting old, and I enjoyed reading this. Men sometimes will lose heart as they grow old. They say, my intellect will become impaired. My physical strength will abate. My power for service will wane. Yes, but if the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Don't you know that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might he'll give strength? The youth will fail and utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And listen, age is no excuse for not serving God. You're never too young, you're never too old. Out of the mouth of sucklings, babes, God has ordained strength. You remember Naaman was a very man of valor, a good man, but he had leprosy. He had cancer, so to speak, and he was going down. And a little girl, a little servant girl, said to the master's wife, if my pastor were here, if my prophet Elijah were here, he could be changed. Just a word. And that man was healed. Now, so let no man despise thy youth, and don't use an excuse for not serving God because you're too old. Dwight L. Moody retired, and he said, I'm stopping. No more service for me. And God said to Moody, all right, I might as well bring you home. You're no good to me down there. You're not serving me there. I might as well just bring you home. For decades, I had old-fashioned Sunday. We'd bring in an old pump organ, dress in old clothes, and I'd get old preachers. I say old preachers. I had a man there, 98, and he was preaching up a storm. He said, I don't want to be like these old people laying around a nursing home. And I thought, my, I know a lot of people 98. I know people 78 in nursing homes. And then I heard a man, 105, preach Jerry Falwell. I got to know Jerry Falwell. He gave me time. We fellowshiped. And so I called the man. I said, wrote him a letter, and I said, would you come? We'll have 1,000 people. I think that's what we'll have in that service if you come. And the date was set, and we had all the plans made. And then we got word that he wasn't coming. Well, I didn't do any more correspondence by letter. I picked the phone up and called. And his wife, who was 98, answered the phone. Now, he's 105. And she said, I only allow my husband to go out 3 Sundays a month to preach. Now, I wanted to jokingly say, well, that wimp, what's the matter with him? But, you know, sometimes jokes fall like lead balloons. And I thought, his wife must be his business manager, his executive, I don't know. But she said, he's not coming. I only allow him 3 Sundays a month. Now, you're never too young. You're never too old to serve the Lord. Whatever your age, let's serve God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. George Frederick Handel was a gifted musician who lived in the 1600s. What you might not know about him, he did that marvelous The Messiah. I'm hoping at Christmas season I'll be able to go somewhere and hear it being presented. Did you know that he had a stroke and he was paralyzed on the one side and could hardly get around? Did you know his health was gone? He was in debt. His creditors wanted to put him in prison. And then he wrote The Messiah. He didn't allow these things to handicap him. He overcame them. The Bible says in Luke 2:37 that Anna was 84 years old and served God day and night. I say to you, Caleb disregarded his handicap. He said, I'm 85. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to serve God even now. And then let me move on to the sixth point. Caleb was willing to pay the price. He said in verse 11, I'm as strong this day as I was when Moses sent me. Moses sent me then, and now, he says, I'm going to go out. He was determined to pay the price. Whatever the price was, Caleb was willing to pay it. Jesus warned those people who would not sit down and count the cost to follow him. That cost will be taking up the cross and following him. Jesus suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And we are to serve the Lord in the same attitude and same spirit. Caleb was willing to pay the price. Paul said, I beseech you, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God are seen at Calvary. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercy and the love and the grace of God of Calvary to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We ought to want the will of God more than anything else. Bobby Richardson was a star second baseman for the New York Yankees, and he was a Christian, and at a fellowship of Christian athletes, this is how he prayed one time. Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. God, give us this hill country. Give us this mountain. Whatever the price, I'll pay it. And then let me close by saying Caleb had a good spirit. We read in Numbers 14:24 that God said, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither to he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb had a different spirit. Six times it says he wholly followed the Lord in Numbers and in here in the book of Joshua. Six times he wholly, that means he fully followed the Lord. He had a spirit about him. There was a sweet, humble, gracious, good spirit about him. He had a vision. He said, we can do it. He had a good attitude. He said, and a good disposition. He was a team worker. He said, let us go up and take the mountain. He had a good spirit. You know, if a person is born of the Spirit and walks in the Spirit and lives in the Spirit and prays in the Spirit, if he is Spirit-filled, there will be a different spirit about him. There will be love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and courteousness and reasonableness and openness and compassion. Caleb had a good spirit. Can we say today, God, give us this mountain. Give us this area. You gave it to us. May we enter into our inheritance. And may we possess it. If a person wholly follows the Lord, people will take knowledge that you've been with Christ. They'll know it. You won't need to explain it. It'll come out your mouth, out your countenance, out your hands. It'll be there. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your ministry and work. And I pray this morning for this church as they look for a pastor, for this church as they claim their inheritance of give me this mountain. Our Father, may we be willing to serve you and to live for you, whatever the cost. We thank you for your presence and your precious promises. Have your way in each of our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.